sorting through Podbean, and I really like that country intro. I'm a fan of music in general, and that just got me going. So this podcast is going to be called Lessons While Running. And I just want to explain to you guys, I run so that I can eat. It's most effective for me. More effective than machines and possibly even lifting. I run anywhere from 1 to 5 miles, just depending on my level of getting itness. And so last year, I went through a tough time emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and of course, I suffered physically. And that was really my own fault. I became best friends with Cane's Chicken and Shipley's Glazed Donuts with a side of Coke. And that was like my daily treat for just surviving work and nearly an hour or more commute from work. So it was sad and it was wrong. And, you know, I understand all those things. Yet it's what made me feel okay enough to get up and do it again the next day, or sleepy enough to retreat to the comfort of my bed and then rest up for my next day of sadness. So I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. I made it through, quit that job, got my fitness together, but that was like 20 pounds after the fact. And so, a podcast probably to describe that process will come a little bit later, but right now I'm better and I'm running. I've dropped about 11 pounds. Yes, I know 11, not 10, because I went to the doctor today and got super excited about that one extra pound. And I've been paying attention. I've been listening to the process of the running. And here's what I've learned about life through running, through hitting foot to pavement. Number one, humility while running. Other runners are going to run slower or faster than you, and it's not a competition. The same 90-year-old woman or man that you pass at, 0.7 miles could fly past you when you get tired at 1.4 miles. So sit down and be humble. Life is the same way. It's best to just keep your blinders on, realize everyone is running at her own pace, or his own pace, and run your race really well. Suspend judgment about the pace, about the speed, and about the progress of others, because you're not wearing their shoes. You're not walking in their shoes. You're not running in their shoes. Number two, eye contact. Connect while you're running. I've made it a habit of saying good morning to as many people as I pass, as many people as possible while I pass them by. Either they're passing me or I'm passing them. It's a beautiful thing to see the responses. Some are hesitant, others are willing, some are surprised, or others may even just give the obligatory hello, like leave me alone. But it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, it's fine. I talk to men, I talk to women, couples, kids, teens, it doesn't matter. All I need is good proximity, and eye contact is just a bonus. Those runners that give the eye contact are the ones that make me smile outwardly and inwardly. There's just something special about giving a person your eye contact that says, I respect you and I see you. And I'm totally running for me, but I still want to be seen. That's in life. We want to be seen. We're going to wake up in the morning. We're going to go to work. We're going to pursue our dreams and our passions, but we want to connect with people. And at the end of the day, we all want to be seen. We want to be heard. We want to be experienced. Number three/four, slow runners and fast runners. So slow runners, they're at least out there running, right? To someone, you yourself may be a slow runner in life or on the track. And slow runners get to take in the scenery. They get to monitor their growth. It's a beautiful feeling to see seconds and then minutes shaved off of your running time, to see progress, to feel growth. Slow? Like slow to who? Who cares? A runner is a runner. Fast runners, I can't speak too much about them, because if I'm fast, it's temporary. Stamina and attention are key for being a fast runner. Now, don't get me wrong, I can sprint. I just prefer to jog. And technique is really important. and your route is important. It's a lot to manage when you want to be a fast runner, right? And what's the return? It just depends. A faster time, heavier breathing, maybe a little more conditioning. I mean, fast runners are getting it on a new and a different level. And when I become one, I can surely tell you more about it. But until then, get it, Usain Bolt, and all of you all, get the medals. I want to kind of end today talking about just the different things that I've seen on the track. People who are in shape, people who are not in shape. I've seen couples, I've seen friends, I've ran with friends, right? And it's so easy to analyze and to compare yourself while running. Body type, hair. I've even compared what I'm wearing to what another person is wearing. Like, oh my goodness, if I had those leggings, I would love to have that sports bra. It's on point. Oh, she's running fast, she doesn't have this heavy, big shirt on like I do, right? I see toned arms. I see cellulite, and it makes me feel some kind of way. Either I want to be a fast runner, I want to tone my arms, or I'm like feeling myself. I'm like, I don't have a bulge there. My XYZ doesn't stick out here. Those are all false impressions. Like, judgment is not being suspended at all. I'm thinking way too deeply. I'm comparing to the extreme. And you know what? I got to look at myself when I run. I got to ask myself questions. Am I doing my best? Am I getting it? Can I do more? And am I willing to do it? And honestly, in an hour from now, is it going to be worth it that I pushed myself to the max? Usually the answer is absolutely yes. All these things can be applied to real life. Three more things that I love about my run. There's dead ends. And I know you're wondering, okay, what would she love about a dead end? What I love about a dead end is that there's always an opportunity to turn around. And I've had runners who maybe are behind me or following the path that I've laid before them. That sounds real deep. It was just how the sidewalk decided to curve. But I get to warn them and say that's a dead end. Like, if they want to go to the dead end and turn around, that's their prerogative. But at least I've told them so that if they don't want to do that, they have the opportunity to turn around right then. And that's the same way in life, right? We go through things, we experience things so that we can pass the torch and help someone else out along the way. I love that opportunity to warn others. And then, oh my goodness, I was running a few days ago and I saw this beautiful Hispanic abuela. And you know, I just have a habit of adopting people. I call my friends' moms mom and my friends' cousins cousin. I know it's really interesting. And of course, you know, I call older women that I see, admire, and love, I call them abuela or mommy or grandma. But the thing about it is that there's a certain level of comfort that comes from knowing that everyone has someone in their life who they admire, who they aspire to be like, who's gone through challenges, who's, you know, lived life and has something to pass forward. And I just stand in awe. I am still in my 20s and life has been challenging. No complaints. I've grown, I've experienced, and I'm in a good place. But when I see people who are in their 60s, 70s, 80s and above, I just have so much admiration for the fact that they're out on the track of life. They're still running. They're still getting it. Like, that's what I aspire to do. When I'm 99 plus one, I want to look back over my life and think, I'm still on the track. I'm still getting it. And by then, I should definitely be a fast runner. Thanks for listening, y'all.